Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Only about 24 hours left to stop telling me how to vote, Bob! It's the horn. It's Monday. It is the seventh day of November 2016. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that, of course, is where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. The rollicking, madcap, zany, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that takes place every evening, Monday through Friday, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern, Standard Time. Yes, we're back to that. And you can be there just as easy as can be. Just go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on Chat Room, where, and then pick out a screen name and a password, and you'll then be met joyfully, excitedly, for new and old chatters alike. By Anatole, Doctor Who, Hoghead, Jug of Punch, Labor Man, Steve from Georgistan, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although a third-stage guild navigator with the mickle powers of space folding, has chosen to remain Sparky this evening and not Man Cave. Doctor Who says, Bob, I can't wait until you stop telling me how to vote. It all ends tomorrow. Because we know there's only a certain very tiny subset minority of people who can tell us how to vote in this country, and, well, I'm not one of them. Stop telling me how to look at the calendar, Bob! All right. 2 minutes past the hour. This is, of course, a listener-supported broadcast operation. It does not subsist on any form of corporate advertising or any other kind of advertising at all, frankly. We get by on your determination to maintain independent, unfettered, freewheeling, progressive conversation. No Buy Gold Now ads, no Bose Wave radio ads. No Swedish mattresses off which you can bounce bowling balls, which you will then pick up in midair, snatch away from gravity itself with your auric vacuum cleaner as you wait for those herbal remedies to kick in and start growing hair like lettuce on top of your head. None of that. No, we just try to raise $200 every evening, and I can happily say that we need to raise $200 this evening. We closed with a deficit over the weekend, but thanks very kindly to our subscribers, we closed that deficit, and that's what makes subscribing so very, very important. Let's get some thank yous in here to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly to Rich. Thank you very kindly to Reed. And thank you as well to Chris in Germany. Thanks to Kim in New Jersey. Thank you very much to John in Wisconsin. And thank you very kindly to Sal Thank you, Sal. Thank you very, very kindly. And thanks as well to Laurel in Minnesota and to Kitty in Boston. Thank you, one and all. You were the reason that we were able to make up the deficit we had from the previous week. So we need to raise $200 this evening, one at 200, two at 100, four at 50, eight at 25, 16 at 12.50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, 64 at $3.13. Yes, and remember, that's just the minimum. That's the minimum that we try to raise. Sometimes it's nice when we can actually get out in front of fundraising, because that takes a little bit of the pressure off. And let's see, we got the website bill to pay right now. It's I just found out it's past due. If you have any problems reaching the contribute page of headonradionetwork.com, you can always, you do want to kick in via PayPal, you can always just use this email address, bobkincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Pick out sending money to friends and families, and the fees won't be quite so onerous, okay? Okay, well, feel better soon, Sparky. Sparky has not folded space because he's on cold meds, and everyone knows that there can be adverse reactions between the spice melange and cold meds. You can go to fold space to the man cave, and the next thing you know, you're in Sausalito. Or something. But anyway, we do very much value our and appreciate everyone who keeps this effort going. And so, consequently, it would be nice to get fundraising out of the way and on the way. Okay? For those of you who prefer the non-electronic methods, for those of you who prefer the U.S. Postal Service, well, you can always send checks and money orders made payable to The Horn, to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, WV 25801. And if you'll send me a note in advance, I'll let Boss Man Wayne know, and then he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the truck, and he'll just have to take maybe broken, jagged, pointed shovel handle with him when he goes to pick up the mail, in case he runs into the Grand Dragon or the Exalted Noble Pish Posh or of the Klan, because the Klan gets their mail at 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, too, at the UPS store there. And UPS seems to think it's perfectly okay to do business with a domestic terrorist organization. Yay! So that's the plan. A little program announcement. Come Friday, if I can get the internet to work like it is supposed to again, I'll be filling in for Malloy on Friday evening at 9 p.m., so we'll probably have a truncated Friday on the front porch. Speaking of Fridays on the front porch, you are more than welcome to participate in a special front porch, a special election night front porch tomorrow evening. That's what we're going to do. I joke a lot about, oh, do I buy good liquor? Oh, do I buy rock gut tequila for tomorrow night? Fact of the matter is, I'll be neither, because this place has just gotten a little too creepy to drop one's guard. I mean, this state is vibrating. Of course, the country is vibrating, isn't it? And not to get all mind reader-ish or anything, but dang it, there we go. Hopefully, we're all connected here. Yes. Connection is solid. The whole country is vibrating, and nowhere is vibrating quite like the state of Florida, where, little did you realize, we have a correspondent on the ground. The man, the myth, the legend, the world's greatest Ohio State University Buckeyes fan, Guy James, joins me now from Florida. Hello, Guy. Are we reaching?
Bob, so good to hear from you, buddy.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you. It's been far too long. These conversations happen all too seldom.
That is a fact. That's for sure. But, God, it's good to talk to you, my friend. We go way back and been through a lot together. And I must tell you, I'm from Ohio originally, Northwest Ohio. And my grandfather, bless his heart, back in the 1920s, hired an African-American gentleman to help him on the farm. And he was there about a week. And our good friends with the white sheets and all burned a cross in the front yard. And that is in Northwest Ohio. So anybody that thinks it was just in the South, why, it happened all over the place.
No, it's pervasive. And, you know, of course, what... Talibandiana, just immediately to the west of Ohio, is and has been a hotbed of Klan activity.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Gee whiz, Bob, we need to make a trip to the home office some of these days. I was thinking of you when Mr. Drumpf was having his press conference over at his post office hotel there.
Right across the street from the home office.
That's exactly right. I doubt if either of us or other be staying there, number one, on principle. Number two, have you seen the cost of those rooms?
Well, yeah, it's ridiculous. And third, apparently Trump properties are a great place to get bedbugs.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
at least according to a lawsuit that was filed over Trump Doral down there in South Florida.
Well, I'm going to stay away from as far as possible from them anyway. I guess I don't have to tell you what I think of that man. I live here in is what James Carville called conservative hell. I think it was back in 2003. I hadn't been on the air very long, and I booked Jim Carville on a show, and I had never talked to him before. And we were about a minute into the conversation, and he says, "By the way, Guy," he says, where are your show coming from?" And I said, "Fort Myers, Florida." He says, "Are you crazy?" As only Jim Carville can say it.
old serpent head, as his spouse refers to him. Yes,
that's right, Mr. LSU himself.
Tough weekend for the Tigers, but man, what a game that was, huh?
Oh man. I was keeping track of it. I was going back and forth to check the score, and I thought, oh, please, please, Tigers, you know. But they didn't quite pull it off, and those Tide boys did pretty well.
They're astonishing this year. This may be the best Crimson Tide team that has ever existed. And all on the back of a quarterback who last year was getting ready for the Texas State football playoffs. So. But that's the scary thing about freshman quarterbacks. You know, you live with them, you die with them.
That's right. Well, I was rooting for the Tigers because, I may need some help from my Buckeyes to get into playoffs.
I think you're going to need substantial help, and you're going to need Jim Harbaugh not to finally catch up with you.
Well, he's not even worried about him. Fooey. I'd say worse than that, but
it's the internet. You can say anything you want to, guys.
Don't like the man at all. And I haven't liked him for 30 years, so I'm not going to start now.
why screw up a good thing?
That's right.
College football aside, you know, that being the important thing. Right. There is this little plebiscite going down tomorrow.
Oh, thank God it's tomorrow. Thank God it's tomorrow.
And you know, if I'm just up to my eyebrows in crazy here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan,
mm-hmm.
you got to just about be speaking in tongues and pert near to handling snakes down there.
Oh, where I live, where I live, oh, Bob, you just don't know. I mean, I was in our little burg of Bonita Springs the other day, just a little bit south of here, and one whole street, one Trump sign after another. One guy even had about six great big flags hanging out. I was hoping I was dreaming, but I wasn't.
The Trumpanzees over on the other side of the state decided to rough up a kid with cerebral palsy and shove him around in his chair for a little while yesterday, if I understood correctly.
I've been around politics for a long time. I'm getting old, but the Kennedy campaign was my first campaign that I got to work in, and so I've seen a lot of elections come and go, and a little animosity here and there, but this one takes the cake. I remember saying to folks last year, you know, this is going to be awful. It's really going to be awful, and it's 10 times worse than I thought it would ever be.
Well, I was about to say, even if your first campaign was the Lincoln campaign,
yes,
this is as nasty as it's gotten.
Yeah.
I mean, is that fair, do you think? I mean,
absolutely. I mean, you're faced with a man with no couth, no morals, he's got nothing going for him.
Not much in the brains department either.
Oh, no. I'm sure you and all the listeners, and by the way, hello to all you good Head On Radio listeners. God, it's good to talk to you. He's got such a limited vocabulary, and that's no kidding. I mean, when he said he liked the uneducated, he's one. I mean, he doesn't have anything going for him, and all he's got's bluster.
And living proof that wealth is no measure of intelligence.
No, not at all. He's been one lucky son of a gun. He's gotten by with his bravado and his bluster and his lying, and he's one in a million. But he's done it. And I tell you what, I've never I'm ashamed to say that. Well, I don't know if I'm really ashamed to say it, but I've never felt toward anybody the way I feel about him and his whole daggone family. His dad must have been a real dandy.
Well, you know, Klansman, speaking of Klan.
Yeah.
I mean, you know he was busted in a Klan riot in, like, 1929 or something in New York.
Yeah, actually got arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be so proud.
I know.
But hey, buddy, I don't want you saying too much to me about this conservative hell I'm in here, because that state of West, by God, Virginia has been bright red on that map for a long time.
Oh no, we may be the Trumpiest state in the union. I mean, we're giving Talabama and Oklahoma Stan a run for their damn money.
I think so. Well, it's understood.
Just to give you an idea, people walk up to you and, you know, white privilege and they just, you know, they make assumptions. I was in the Wiggling Pig the other day and I had somebody walk up to me and say, well, do you think Trump's going to make it? I sure hope so. And she looked like she was going to come all to pieces when I looked at her and I said, well, I pray God not. That man's a madman. He's crazy and he's evil and he's not a Christian.
And
just the look of shock. It's like, okay, buddy, you're gone on the list.
Yeah, I'd say probably so. You know, Bob, there's no talking to him. There's just no talking to him. No facts. No reasoning. No logic. Nothing. Nothing works.
No, it doesn't. Because they don't need it to work. Somebody posted something on my Facebook page earlier today, and said, you know, I just don't know how they can believe this stuff. And my only response, and it was immediate, was to say they want to believe it. They believe it because they want to. They yearn to. You know how St. Paul said, lo and behold, I was all things to all people. Well, we're kind of seeing the white wing end of that spectrum. 8 years ago, a lot of people projected a lot of their own hopes and dreams onto the man who is getting ready to leave the White House, President yep. Obama. A lot of people saw, a diehard progressive in him that, wasn't there. Other people saw a centrist, but they saw what they want to see. And then we've got the same thing going on with Trump, only in a much nastier fashion. These are people that they've got an agenda. There's certain people in this country they want to see put in their place. They're scared to death of Muslims. They hate Mexicans. A woman's place is in the kitchen.
And they're not afraid to say it anymore.
No, and that's the one thing. Like you said, you got some history. Have you ever borne witness to such an outpouring of bigotry, prejudice, and hate as this man has, I don't think he's caused it. I think the word we keep hearing in the campaign is that he's normalized it. He's made it okay to be out in polite society doing this stuff.
That's right, and it's him. I mean, it's not an act. That's who he is. That's very evident. He had a rally here at this Alico Arena about 2 miles from where I live, and the one thing that Hillary has been absolutely far off, radically mistaken in this whole campaign has been she vastly underestimated the percentage of deplorables. Oh my God, the people that lined up outside of that arena, it was a three-ring circus like I have never seen. You just knew. You've seen interviews with them around the country.
Oh, sure.
And it's. I hope somebody puts together a big montage of all of them, because I'd buy it. I really would. It's funny in a way. In another way, it's tragic. I've never felt so disappointed in my fellow Americans.
Has the Trumpansie phenomenon? Has there been an element of surprise to it for you, Guy?
Yes.
I mean, you didn't think America was this mean, dumb, and hateful?
No, and I didn't think it was this stupid. I've used that word a lot to people that I know. Like somebody said the other day, I won't have to buy as many Christmas gifts this year. but it's just. I'm astonished every day. Every day I see people, I talk to people, and it's just outrageous.
Do you have your prognosticating hat handy? I mean, you want to offer up a prediction on Florida?
Well, I think it's going to be close, but I think Hillary's going to pull it off. I do. If I was going to be worried about any of the states, and here I am acting like some big pollster, but if I was going to worry about any of the states, I'd probably worry about Ohio, I'm ashamed to say. But my roots being back there,
old school Republicanism runs deep in Ohio. There's no getting around it.
Well, it does, but Bob, I'm from a different time, I guess. I remember the night of the Kennedy-Nixon election. I remember it like it was yesterday. And we lived about a quarter of a mile. We lived with farm people, and we lived about a quarter of a mile from another farm. A guy's name was Fred George. We loved Fred. But he was a hardcore Republican, and my dad and us, we were working in the Kennedy campaign. And, that thing went on until, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. But when they finally announced that John F. Kennedy had won the election, my dad and I and my little brother walked down the road to Fred's house because the lights were on, walked in Fred's kitchen, and Fred handed my dad the bottle of liquor that they had bet.
Yeah.
And held out his hand. They shook hands, said, "I hope he's a good president." You know, that's the way it was. That really is the way it was.
There was a shared sense of purpose, a shared sense of duty, obligation, and citizenship?
For the country. For the country.
Well, and I mean, you want to talk about 1960. I mean, you know, the little old West Virginia had a part to play in that, too, because a whole bunch of Bible-banging Baptists decided it might be okay to let a Catholic be president.
You know, Bob, that reminds me of something funny. When I was a kid, my whole family, they were kind of evangelical. They went to the Nazarene Church, and it was fairly evangelical at the time. I guess it still is. I don't know. But we went to this church every Sunday faithfully, and every Sunday during that election, the preacher got up and railed against Kennedy because he was a Catholic. And one Sunday, about a week before the election, he started in again. The church was full. My dad looked at my mom and my brother and I and said, "Get up, we're leaving." Right in the middle of his sermon, we got up and walked out of a packed church and never went back. That's how bad that was at the time. It really was.
And but somehow even that seems a little bit more innocent compared to now, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. When the election was over, there were some disgruntled people, but not like there's going to be the day after tomorrow.
Well, you just got a note from Jay Cruzen. He said, "Tell Guy if he gets too scared, hop on I-75 and come on across Alligator Alley, Broward County going blue like we always do. Not that there aren't any Trump psychos here, but when he loses, there won't be as much gunfire here as over there."
He's exactly right.
But it's a no-win situation, because if he wins, there's going to be gunfire, and if he loses, there's going to be gunfire.
Yeah.
I mean, gone too are the days of the happy display of the purple thumb, you know, in Iraq, and I voted. And no, it'll just be people letting off their freedom protectors in the air and wondering where in the hell the bullets are going to fall.
Yeah, and there's a local gun store in a little town called Lehigh across from us here, and it's called Guns Lead and Smoke, and they advertise on the radio, on the right-wing radio station here, and they're actually running an ad that says, "Get your guns before this election, because you won't be able to buy them afterwards."
At some point in time, Guy, do we have an obligation to just try to take these bastards' guns away from them just because they've been saying we will for so long?
Yeah. Yeah, how long has it been? How long has it been?
Well, I mean, at least Obama was going to get your guns twice.
Oh, yeah.
John Kerry was going to get your guns and your Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Al Gore was after your guns. We had 8 years of absolute drop-dead certainty that Bill Clinton was coming for your guns any minute now. Dukakis wanted our guns.
And the sales were never so good.
It's a good time to be a bullet maker or a gun manufacturer.
You betcha. And, you know, I certainly got nothing against responsible people having their hunting guns and their sporting guns and everything, but man, some of the freakish people. I get my hair cut right next to a gun store, and some of the folks going in and out of there, scare me a little.
Well, as they should. I mean, we've got this, we've been living for a year, well, less than a year, really, with our very own nobody needs a concealed carry permit only law. And I'm still not okay. And I'm going to be less okay tomorrow and the day after. Because you just don't know. You don't know.
You don't need a concealed carry permit?
No, sir.
Ooh, that's worse than ours. I mean, half the people around here got firearms strapped to their leg, but, you know, you got to have a permit and all that. But, geez, that is, that's scary.
And so you don't know they got them, so how are you going to tell them not to? I vote in a little tiny town in a little polling place where it's going to be real easy. I'll just go in and, "Hey, Bob, hey," and I'll vote, and Agnes will vote, and we'll all vote. And it'll be easy, but even with a little tiny polling place like that, I don't know if somebody's going to have a damn gun in their pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's kind of, you know, when I did my show years ago on one of the local radio stations here, I'd get email, you know, I'm waiting for you across the street. I've got you in my sights when you walk out the door, things like that. Had to go to the FBI, I think, three times. But, God, what are we fostering here? Come on. As President Obama said, come on, man.
You're going to miss him. I know. That means I'm not nearly progressive enough, but I'm going to miss that man.
Now, you know, Bob, I was just telling my wife a couple hours ago how proud I am that, and I don't know if you remember or not, but I was there at the beginning. I went to the convention. I broadcast the convention from
there. You did?
And the night that he accepted his speech in the Mile High Stadium, Bob, I swear to God, it's giving me chills right now thinking about it. It was absolutely magical.
Yeah, it was electric. And then, of course, the day of the inauguration.
Oh, my God.
That frozen, brutal day.
I had the best time of that. I could walk out of my hotel and look down the street a little bit and see the festivities starting, and went down there and stood with my... you got time for just a little story?
All the time in the world, guy.
I had two passes, really good press passes for the inauguration, and I walked up the street, and I was getting ready to go, and I walked down the street, and about a block away from where you had to go pass through the gate to go in, there was a very, very charming African-American lady and her little boy, about 7 years old, sitting on the curb. And it was a cold day, and it was a beautiful day, though, and people milling about everywhere. And the lady just sat there, and she looked so cheerful, and I said, are you going to the... She said, oh, no. She said, we don't have tickets. I can't go. And I said, well, why did you come here? She was from South Carolina, and they'd come on a bus, and none of them had tickets. And I said, why did you come all the way from South Carolina without a ticket? How did you? She said, I just felt it would be the greatest thing in the world for my little boy to be here on this day. And I gave her my other ticket. I didn't see her at the festivities, but what a fantastic thing for her to say and to be. I mean, people came there. It was wonderful. I'm so glad I was there.
Well, the night after was my first night, my first ever ride on the DC Metro. And I had flown into Dulles, and then the bus to the Rosslyn Metro stop, because, you know, it wasn't finished out to the airport yet. And then I got on the Metro, and they were absolutely slammed. And families with little children asleep in their arms. I'll never forget the image, and just talking to people. And it was the same thing. It was, I felt like we had to be here. I wanted to be able to look at my kids and say, hey, remember that day.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it did give you chills, because that's the kind of thing that is, you know, those moments are what make you understand the hopeful, positive side of this country. You know, the rest of the 4 years we spend bickering and arguing, and but on that day, with that peaceful transfer of power that seems to have been large, it's almost exclusively an American thing. I mean, okay, some other countries, but they've had their fair share of revolutions and civil wars. And you know, they peacefully transfer power in the United Kingdom because they went through a period of time when they really weren't very good at that. You know, and heads rolled and whatnot. But to see that peaceful transfer of power and all the potential of the moment, And I think that's one of the things out of this election that if you can say that there's anything secularly sacred, that's one of the things that has just been spat on. When Trump said that he didn't necessarily agree with the idea of a peaceful transfer of power,
yeah.
You know, wait and see. And it was like, God damn, really?
Yeah, yeah. That was a headbanger. I was stunned to hear that. Even from him, I was stunned. What an awful. To me, all the crap and the rotten things he said during this whole process, that's the worst.
And then for them to for his camp to backtrack and say, well, because Gore.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, Gore didn't file the suit in the Supreme Court. Bush did.
That's right.
And so if there's a tradition of not accepting presidential election results, it is not a Democratic.
Nope.
In fact, you know, a lot of us are still kind of chapped over the fact that Gore didn't fight hard enough in 2000, but we're not going to relitigate all of that. Notes coming in for you. Steve from Georgia, Stan, just talking about how much he loves hearing from you and how much he used to love listening to you. Carol Baker out in Missouri saying, all caps, I love Guy James. She said, someone asked me how I've been handling the election, Carol said. And she said, well, I responded, well, I've been hitting the sauce a lot, binge eating, smoking two packs a day, and having a lot of indiscriminate sex. Other than that, I sleep a lot.
Do you know what, Bob? I'm in my studio. I still have all my, it's my office, but I'm looking at a bottle of Southern Comfort sitting on a shelf, and I think you probably remember where it came from.
yep, sure do.
Down there beside the firehouse.
I tell you, I gotta give you kudos. You can make one last. Or have you just been filling it up from the occasional pint lately?
Yes. those were
yeah, that was the night you went to work on the bottle of Rittenhouse rye.
Yeah, rye whiskey. Oh yeah.
yep. We sang that refrain a few times.
Yes, sir.
They're on the wilds of New Jersey Avenue.
Yes. Yes.
But let me ask you another question. We get lost in all the presidential politics, and it certainly has it's deserving of the attention. But you got some stuff going on down ballot in Florida that makes a big damn difference. I mean, you know, you're living in climate change central.
Yeah, man.
And you've got an outright denier in Marco Rubio. Is he going back to the Senate even after he said he didn't want to?
I fear he is. The way I figured, I think he owes the public about $350,000 for no show for 2 years. What a no good hypocrite that man is. He's thinking of himself for 4 years from now, 2020. That's all it's about. He has no desire to be in the Senate. The Senate doesn't need him. He's good for nothing in the Senate. But
even if he ever takes a stand on principle, he folds like a cheap suit about 15 seconds after, right?
Yeah, he's he talks, and all these Republicans that shunned Trump, never Trump, and oh, that's the last straw. I unendorse him, or I won't endorse him. Well,
I had my fingers crossed. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right. And I just respect some of them so much less. We have to win the Senate, Bob. We have to. It's a must. We got to win the Senate.
That's going to be, to a certain extent, not to bum everybody out, but a little reminder, that's a rear guard action we're fighting there, because 25 Democratic seats are up for re-election in 18.
Yeah.
So that means we got to have the Senate, and if anybody's going to retire from the Supreme Court, they need to, if we can get the Senate, they need to do it like the day after the inauguration. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And get three or four nice, young, new not wild-eyed right-wing justices in there.
Yeah, exactly, and that's going to be that's going to be a fight to the death. You know, they've already said so. To me, the senators that are saying that already are anti-American, no good bastards, as far as I'm concerned. That they're going to deny any, you know, this old wait till let's let the people decide, and then when our Democrats get to we didn't mean that. That's un-American. It is. For people that have preached nothing but the constitutional, the originalist, all these people say, oh, we love the Constitution. All of a sudden, they're thinking about screwing the Supreme Court out of existence.
Maybe it's time we finally figured out that they don't, and I don't know why it's taken some people so long. It hasn't me and it hasn't you. But they are opposed. We're talking about neo-Confederates, and maybe not even neo. These are just Confederates.
Yep.
They don't like the idea of a federal government. They don't like the Constitution. They don't like the separation of powers. And, you know, they want just enough federal government to maintain the military-industrial complex and send some gravy back home, but not much else.
That's right. That's exactly right. And if these people that feel that way along with them, if they would just think about that, if they would just think about the ramifications of us not having a good central government, not saying it's without its warts, because it is. It does have warts and all. But to suggest that it's just be all state rule, we wouldn't even be a country anymore.
No, it's balkanization. And you don't want to think about where that winds up.
That's right.
Not by any stretch of the imagination. Well, you got another note. Michael in Madison, formerly of Ohio, says it's great to hear Guy James again. Been too long. Still remember listening to his show daily on the Horn and trying to stay sane during W's administration. It seems like so very long ago, but I haven't forgotten those dark days. Sadly, it seems like many progressives have forgotten. Whatever the outcome tomorrow, I have a feeling both Guy and I will be heartbroken by Ohio. I hope I'm wrong, but if the Trumpanzees succeed there, even if they fall on the national stage, I'll feel like a Buckeye in exile. Still, it's good to hear Guy's voice of sanity on this perilous evening.
Well, Bob, you know, that's so nice to hear, and I'm so proud of you. I had my show for, 12 years, and fighting every day to keep going, just like you do. And, you know, the money end of it, there was never enough, and you know, ended up paying for a lot of it myself because you couldn't get any sponsors around here and contributions and all that, and finally had to give it up for that reason. And that's why I'm so proud of you. You're one of the last warriors. You and Mike, I think, and I don't know if Mike's got any support anymore. I don't know. But
well, you know, if it's progressive, it's hanging on by a thread.
Yes, that's right. It has been all along, and so many have dropped off. You know, I remember so many years back going to a meeting in Washington, having been invited, and the Air America was getting started, and they were like trying out the people for it. And I went to this meeting. There was about seven of us, and Senator Debbie Stabenow was there talking. Her husband, that bum from Michigan, I can't think of his name anymore, he was running the show. And, what's the gal from Miami? I can't think of her name.
Oh, Randy Rhodes.
Yeah, Randy was there. She was sitting right beside me. And she says, you see that stupid bastard sitting over in the corner? And
Tom Athens.
Yeah.
Tom Athens.
Well, yeah, he was the guy heading it up. So that's right. That was Debbie's husband. And I said, no. She said, you know who he is? And I said, no, I don't know. She said, it's that Ed Schultz. He said, from North Dakota. And she told me the whole story about Ed Schultz. And, of course, he ended up having a show on TV and the whole business. So that whole thing was, to quote somebody else I don't like very much, rigged. But, but and then again, you and I got to stand and hear...
You bloggers?
Yeah. Well, we got to stand in here one night in a meeting. Do you remember about hearing the best friend that labor ever had?
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you folks listening could have seen the look on Bob and I's faces, we were never listening.
For those of you who've never been in the presence. It can be a rather imposing figure, but he's a gentle giant, a mild mannered soul. But when he turned to me after hearing that and said, "Bob, I'll be out in the lobby,"
Rich Trumka,
yeah,
he was standing there telling us that Ed Schultz was the best friend labor ever had, and he'd only been a so-called Democrat for about a year.
Yeah. And when you said I'll be out in the lobby.
Yes.
There was hellish fire in your eyes.
I was so disgusted.
There's about to be steam coming out from under your collar, your well-pressed collar, cuz I'd seen you press it yourself.
Never forget it. Well, you know, Bob, I got to go. And I can't tell you what a pleasure it is speaking with your listeners and you. And like I've told a lot of people, you are a progressive hero in my book. You fought the fight, and you keep fighting it every day, and I know you'll continue to fight it as long as you can, and you don't know how much I respect that. We have to get together again some of these days.
We really, really do, and I don't want to keep you from anything, but I tell you what, let's not make it so long between conversations whenever you've got the time, I've got it for you. You take care, and if you haven't, did you early vote?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so you don't have to fool with the madness tomorrow.
No, I don't.
If anything happens, holler. We'll be just sitting around the campfire talking tomorrow evening. So,
okay.
You're more than welcome, and I know people would not have had their fill of you yet. Please take care of yourself, Guy James. We think the world and all of you. I do, and everybody else does, and I just thank you so much for joining in on this little conversation. I knew it would be a treat for people. That's why I kind of left it as a surprise, and I'm going to get emails from the people who listen to the podcast going, "Damn, you had Guy James!" So
when do you play that podcast?
Well, I mean, it'll go on the rerun stream all night long, but it'll go out. There's oodles of people who don't listen live who listen to the podcast instead. So
okay, all right.
Well, Guy, you take care of yourself, and
right.
I'll forgive you the occasional go Buckeyes.
Okay.
All right. Later now. Bye. Man, the one and onlyest Guy James. That voice. And he didn't sing. My God, that voice can sing. I wish there was some way that Guy was still doing his thing. Because there's no such thing as too many progressive voices out there, and he was a dandy. He absolutely was a dandy. Still is. I mean, you can tell, master storyteller, an absolute joy to run around with. And yeah, there's a place. It's right across from the new Mar-a-Lago Mussolini Hotel there in D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue. And that's what he was referring to when he was talking about the home office. Because when we would be in D.C. for a radio row or something, we'd try to set aside one evening and go to this Brazilian chiaroscura. I'd always screw up the pronunciation. Sorry, Flavio. And it was all you can eat. And we ate all we could. And they wouldn't leave you alone, and they would just bring it and bring it and bring it and bring it. And yeah, several evenings when a couple of 6-foot-tall-plus older white guys found their centers of gravity completely changed. So, I don't know. I'll try to see if we can get Guy back more often, but wow, what a conversation. And he's right. Florida may be nuts, but in our own hillbilly way, we're not far behind. Of course, it's Moran Monday. Little did the framers of the Constitution understand what they were doing when they said that first Tuesday after the first Monday business, or second Tuesday after the first Monday, or hell, I can't keep track of it. But it always means that presidential elections will fall after a Moran Monday in the modern era. And by way of proving that, this. Now, this is from a couple of days ago. This is from the Saturday edition of the Boston Globe. I don't know exactly how it works in a newsroom, but somebody pitched the idea of a reporter for the Boston Globe named Tracy Jan to hightail it down to Beckley, West Virginia. You know, where we've got our horn mailbox. And talk to some voters. And look, let's get something straight. Anytime that a big city, a big northern or maybe, well, a big city newspaper, anytime they come to West Virginia, they've got marching orders. Namely, whoever you're going to talk to, wait till you find one with a little bit of tobacco juice dribbling out of the corner of his mouth, because then you'll have a winner. And it'll make great copy. And oh, how they have loved to read this up in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Mercy sakes alive. They sent Tracy Jan down here. And Tracy Jan got to talking to some hillbillies who were getting done with their early voting. And, you know, the lead just writes itself. They fear her. They despise her. They reel at the very thought of her. Her being, you know, Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. They fear her. They despise her. They reel at the very thought of her. Here in the Republican stronghold of southern West Virginia, a distinctly dystopian picture emerges of what life would be like under, God forbid, a Hillary Clinton presidency. People here view the election as an all-out battle for the soul of America and view Clinton's election as the one sure way to lose it. Mm-hmm. So you pretty much know where the article's going at that point, don't you? I mean, one after another, fearful citizens outside the Raleigh County Courthouse in downtown Beckley, where record numbers have turned out early to vote, spoke of the United States with Clinton in charge as a lawless land primed for economic collapse. Yeah. Helpless in the face of rampant terrorism and communism, doomed to be overrun by Muslims and massive waves of illegal immigrants sucking America dry. A weakened nation that could be a target for the next world war. Now bear in mind, we haven't even gotten a quote from a hillbilly yet. This is all just the fevered writing of Tracy Jan. Worst of all, guns would be yanked from their homes as nearly full-term babies would be from their mother's wombs. It would be like hell. Again, no quotation marks anywhere to be found. So, Tracy Jan is clearly writing...
I mean, that doesn't... I mean, really? Is that good reportering? Or is that writing for the home crowd back in the bleachers in Baston?
So that we can reinforce some negative stereotypes of Appalachian people. Now, bear in mind, I do it. I talk about people here because I live here. I interact almost daily. I hear this stuff for real. But you'll forgive me if I get a little bit suspicious, because I'm a hillbilly, and we're like that. We're clannish and insular. That's clan with a C, goddammit. And distrusting of foreigners and outsiders, because it seems like every time they come in here, we wind up getting screwed.
No, we just want to buy the minerals under your land, Hiram. We don't want to buy the land itself, just the minerals under it. You can stay here for as long as you want to. We're just going to get the coal, that's all.
Next thing you know, Hiram, whose daddy was a farmer on that ground, and whose daddy's daddy was a farmer on that ground, and whose daddy's daddy was a farmer on that ground, Hiram's working in the coal mines getting paid scrip, and he's in debt to the company because he can't buy nothing except at the company store. Yeah, but anyway, back to Tracy Jan. She finally gets around to talking to Dean Pack, age 70.
She would destroy the United States as we know it. It's over. It's all over. Believe me, she's trash. She's a zero. A minus!
He shouted, hands waving in the air. A woman emerging from the courthouse with a red, white, and blue I voted early sticker affixed to her shirt yelled out,
I'm with you!
Here in the heart of Trump country, where a billboard on the way into town urges folks to support coal jobs and vote Republican. Really? How long you been down here, Tracy, and you're referring to people as folks? Alongside another advising people to drive sober, a deep well of animosity has swelled against Clinton and what she is perceived to represent. Okay, that's kind of some journalism-y writing. The sources... this is much more Bostonian. The sources of the resentments are multi-layered, but close to the core lies the economic devastation that has rocked the region as coal mines have fallen into bankruptcy and tens of thousands of workers have been laid off. I guess, you know, you've only got a certain amount of words and a certain number of column inches you can devote to something like this, but the voters here squarely blame the Obama administration and onerous environmental regulations, even though economic forces, especially plentiful natural gas, loom larger in the industry's troubles. No time here for mentioning the fact that the coal industry itself is the author of much of the decline of the labor force in the coal industry. You know, instead of mining coal underground, you decide to use a crew of about 10 to 15 guys using heavy equipment and blowing the bejesus out of mountains to get at seams of coal that are 6 inches to a foot thick. 5,000 acres gone in 5 years, sludge dams, billions of gallons of toxic waste hanging over people's heads held back by dams made out of dirt and rock and mud. Many also blame Democrats for the drug addiction. Drug addiction tearing close-knit communities apart, the shuttered businesses around town, and the ubiquitous for sale signs in front yards. A Clinton presidency, they reckon, would only hasten West Virginia's demise. Yeah, because, you know, there's some damn liberal Democrats out there giving out the hydrocodones like they was M&Ms. Never mind the fact that our New Jersey
attorney general's wife was a lobbyist for the very company that was pumping this state full of those goddamn things. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, you get the idea. A Clinton presidency, they reckon, would only hasten West Virginia's demise. And yet this state voted overwhelmingly for Bill Clinton, not once, but twice. They loved Bubba. 60-year-old independent voter John Myers, who worked in construction in the coal mines, said, "What it really boils down to is the American dream is going to be lost. We're voting for the survival of the United States. It's like a war, and we're fighting back. This is all we can do." And it goes on like that. Myers, apparently, he was the one with the tobacco juice because Tracy Jan stayed with him for a while. Myers said he believes there's a government conspiracy being waged against conservatives, which he said explains why Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, a conservative legal icon, is no longer alive. We believe he was murdered! And then, of course, we've got a live one here. Here, you want a rub? I got some skull. If Clinton were to appoint the next Supreme Court Justice, Myers said, she'd get rid of the Second Amendment! She'd get rid of the Constitution! Don't put nothing past that word, that woman. That's Mr. Pack again. Mr. Pack then said that Hillary has, the federal government has ordered 30,000 guillotines that Hillary, if she's elected, will use to kill us, Christians and people who believe in the Second Amendment. All you got to do is pull it up on the internet. 30,000 guillotines. Yeah, you bet. Hey, let's run over and see what's happening on the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, long time no talking. Can you hear me all right?
I got you, John. What's happening?
Oh, I thought you might get a minor, small kick out of my rather amazing conversation I had with a bunch of people at a, for politeness sake, I won't mention name, truck stop in Colorado. And I walked in this place. It was a very, very nice truck stop. It got a nice buffet and all that stuff. And I happened to walk in for my lunch and walked into a Trump gathering.
You could tell how by the crap. burning. Was it the burning crosses or the hoods and robes that clued you in?
Oh no! I mean, they were nice, but I think you know me well enough to know that. If I happen to make the mistake of walking into the dragon's den, I pull out my stick and start swinging. So I asked them, I said, okay, well, what makes you think Trump is so wonderful? Well, let's see if I can hit the high points. Well, that Obama and his job-killing Obamacare has caused a lot of jobs to be lost around here. And, we can't even get full-time work anymore because of that man. And she's just going to keep on keeping on with that stuff. Okay, that's number one. I made the comment. I said, well, with this Obamacare, you can now get health care without having to worry about pre-existing conditions. Oh, they'll still screw you over that way. That's just bullshit. Okay. So I go, okay, well, what about trade deals? Oh, if Trump gets his way, he's going to save the country and bring back the jobs. And I'm like, what jobs? Well, manufacturing jobs. And I go, well, I'm in the middle of Colorado, and I don't see much in the way of manufacturing around here. But you got a lot of cows. Well, that's part of it. And it just deteriorated from there. So I thought you'd get a momentary kick out of it.
Oh, what a... It.
I mean, these people were diehard. They were going to do their voting, and they couldn't wait till tomorrow. They're all getting together to get the plan together to go down all in their little buses and their 1990 Cadillacs and all that stuff, and they're going to make America great again.
Hot damn.
And I had the pleasure of being called a liberal commie socialist.
They left out the pinko, did they?
They forgot the pinko, but then I did the Homer Simpson thing, and I really pissed them off. Because I went up and went, woohoo, and I stuck my hands up in the air.
Woohoo!
Oh, and I tell you,
that
I,
one? Yeah.
That buffet, I had to kind of take it to go because it got kind of hot in there. But I thought of you about this time. I said, this might be of some interest, Bob. And I've listened to a bunch of podcasts, and I've been scanning the internet, and I don't know, man. I hope to heck I'm wrong, but I don't know whether they're just ginning it up for the media's sake. But these things are tightening up to a point. They're inside the margin of error in too many damn places. I don't know. We may wake up Wednesday morning and then have to go back to drinking again, because it may not break the way we think it might, or he'll get too damn close.
I can't even let myself look. I'm the one who predicted. I predicted that he could do it. I don't want to even ponder the possibility of it, John. Because it's you know, this isn't like W getting to be president. This is what did Hunter Thompson say? The hogs are in the tunnel and they will travel on a road of bones. This is that.
Yeah. And what gets me is if he gets close enough, even if he doesn't win, if we can't get the Senate back now when we have the chance to get the Senate back, then in 4 years, you know, 2 to 4 years, that's going to be it, because they won't be able to put a Supreme Court justice in that would even be a token defense against anything that we've got now, because that damn turtle ass McConnell up there, he's already drawn the line in the sand. If he's still majority leader after the election, then we're not. You can forget it. Because I talked to a guy today. And he brought up something that I did not even think of. And he said the following. He said, what the Republicans want to do now is they want to block the Supreme Court nominees, just flat out block them, and wait for Ginsburg to die. Because most of the liberal judges are pretty old.
Yeah.
And they're hoping to just not fill any slots, wait for the liberal ones to start dying off. That gives them their majority again on the courts, and it allows them to keep going forward. They'll bleed that court down to 6 members, down to 5, before they'll let anybody...
Right, because this is, John, this is all tied into the fact that the Republican Party does not believe in constitutional governance and does not believe in the idea of a strong federal government. Remember, they want a small federal government. And you know, you can't, if you press them on it, you can't ever get them to tell you how small they want it to be. But, I mean, apparently it's going to be one little old blue-haired lady licking envelopes sending out Social Security checks.
Oh, no. But whenever they get into power, Bob, that's when the government grows like a son of a bitch. It's when the defense spending goes up and the military police crap goes fuck wild. And you know, I sat there and about a week and a half ago, I went through a town. And one of these small towns in Texas, and we'll be polite and keep the name out. And I'm driving through, and standing out in front of the city town hall / police station, and I'd heard the word before. I'd heard the term MRAP before, but I had never seen one. But I was going through that town, and they were proudly showing off their new MRAP. And this big freaking tank for a town that I bet you didn't have 2,000 people live in it. And I'm like, you know, you look at what's
going on. Yeah, but a little town like that, it'll be easier for the Bundys to come along and steal it.
Oh, hell, I guess that's good, too. But I mean, you think about it, and maybe this is me being a bit of a dick today, but, you know, you got the Bundys that get off on, oh, well, it's okay, you know, they can steal and, you know, take over land and do whatever they want to do because they're just protesting their rights. But then you get some indigenous people fighting for their freaking water. And, I mean, have you seen the pictures of these damn police that are up there?
Oh, yeah.
They're drawing cops from 200 and 300 and 400 miles away, sending them on special duty details. And it turns out that it's the federal government who's giving them grants to pay for their damn trip and to pay for them being up there. And I'm going, this is bullshit. This is a freaking, I mean, it's the Dakotas, for God's sake. They don't have 10 cities that are more than a few thousand people. And yet, they are going to be spending millions and millions and millions of dollars because a bunch of people are trying to protect their freaking water. And yet, we ain't got no money for education, we got no money for freaking health care, and, ugh, don't even get me started on health care, because my company just screwed me over big time when it came to health care. They keep dialing on these new, you know, they keep going to these different companies, oh, we're trying to get the best deal, and then, but it turns out that the co-pays don't, the one I got now has no co-pays. And I have a deductible of $2,700, which means the insurance covers nothing until I break a leg or fall off a cliff. So, anyway, that was me getting personal. I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's quite all right. It's quite all right.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's, I'm like a lot of people, assuming that everything breaks right, I can't wait for Wednesday morning. So I can sit back and listen to these damn people just lose their freaking minds. That's all I've heard in the last, I mean, these last couple of trips have been down in the southern part of the country that I've had, and that's all I hear. It's time for a revolution, you know, it's time to take this country back. You know, I
remember. Well, yeah, yeah. See, I don't care if I'm hearing that from a green meanie or from a Trumpanzee, that revolution talk. In either case, no one suggesting it has ever been through one, knows what a vile, filthy, bloody, hateful thing it is, and even has the first comprehension of what actually comes with violent revolution.
Exactly.
So,
it's like I think I might have messaged you a few days ago about a conversation was going on. You know, these people want this change and they want this thing going on, but they don't recognize the amount of chaos and disaster that goes with it. You know, you go into a lawless state. You know, it's one thing for a country like Somalia or something to be a libertarian paradise, but you wouldn't want to live there. And yet they had this magical idea that somehow that, you know, the roads will still be working and the phone lines will still be up and everything, and it's not. If things blow up in their face, the whole country goes to hell and everything that you've got disappears. But anywho, thought I'd call you, and I will now disappear back into the marshland and
keep the dirty side down, the shiny side up. And
well, right now both sides are dirty, so you wouldn't tell the difference.
Well, true. Time to get through the truck wash, is it then?
Who's going to pay me for it?
There we go.
The company truck, so yep. If they don't want to pay for it, I'll just drive it dirty.
That ain't on you. John, you take care.
That's it. Be good, bye.
All right, bye now. From somewhere out on the roads of the American West, that's our buddy John. It is Moran Monday, and you know they're eagerly lining up. By the way, did you realize this is the first presidential election we've had without the benefit of the Voting Rights Act? So we'll probably find out some ugly little truths tomorrow. In Hamilton County, Ohio, there was one early voting location in an area with like 800,000 people. The early voting line on the last day for early voting was a half mile long and had 4,000 people in it. just, you know, just one of those ugly little facts. No trouble early voting in West Virginia. Getting back to the Boston Globe story. Cat Brown, aged 82, whose father, husband, brother, and son had all worked in the coal mine, said, "She'll kill coal, and that's what fuels us here." Another one of those moments where we talk about West Virginia's heritage is coal, which is, of course, a line of pure bullshit, because it isn't. It's a heritage of self-reliance, subsistence farming, and yes, eventually being forced into indentured servitude in all but name by the coal industry, sure. But there's nobody out there who's done well by coal. I mean, there's some people out there who've made $60,000-$70,000 a year, and a very, very tiny management class that's done okay. But it hasn't done anything for West Virginia. There are no sparkling skyscrapers like as you'd find in the petro states of the Middle East. Oh, hell no. Let's see. Sheila Webb is 63 years old. She's an alleged Democrat who's going to vote for Trump. And she said, "Find me an island that ain't got nothing but monkeys on it." I guess she's got a taste for monkey. Let's see. Tara Vires went to vote with Ms. Webb, Sheila Webb. And she said, "If we don't get Trump, otherwise we're all going under. Clinton's going to let immigrants come over here. We need to take care of Americans first." Yeah, because I'm sure Ms. Vires, you know, I'm sure she's good at God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian. But she doesn't have any room in her Christian heart for little children who have been, who had their families bombed right out from around them and need a place to go, and no. Let them. They just need to stay. That little fella just needs to stay right there. Stephen Stone, 69 years old, Vietnam vet, bought a hot dog from a street vendor next to the courthouse and said, "That woman, if she gets in, we're going to have a war on our hands. I'm scared. I'm really scared." Because he's pretty sure that 69-year-old Vietnam vet and former Pepsi salesman, he's pretty damn sure the ISIS is gonna be here day after tomorrow if that Clinton is elected. Then there's James Davis, another alleged Democrat. He thinks other countries will leave us alone because they're going to think Trump's crazy. I'm not trying to be a male chauvinist, but who can they intimidate the most, male or female? They're going to pick female. Mr. Trump, they think he's crazy, so I don't think too many countries will mess with us. And he may have a point, because the official endorsement did come out today from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, otherwise known as North Korea, who said that Donald Trump is a wise man. Frank made me aware of that earlier. Yeehaw. Yep. Tracy Jan said, "As voters on the leaf-strewn sidewalk convulsed over the idea of a Clinton presidency." Convulsed? Really? They were going into convulsions? Is she sure they weren't just breaking into spontaneous tongue-speaking prayer, maybe? And down at the bottom, she finally finds one person who says he's going to vote for Hillary. "I don't have a fear of the Constitution being destroyed and people knocking down my door and taking my shotgun," he said. And then he says, "But both sides do it. Both political parties try to scare people." Yeah, thanks for not helping. Yep, she's going to start a war with the Russia, and then we're going to get invaded by the ISIS, and then we're going to have Sharia law. But the story that just really, the part of the story that just really grabbed me was the part where Hillary's going to have 30,000 guillotines to use on Christians and gun owners. Yeah, that was pretty precious. So I just went searching, trying to find where Cletus there, not the good Cletus. Cletus is a good girl. She's a very good puppy. But where the Cleti Collective would get such a thing as 30,000 guillotines to be used on by Hillary Clinton on Christians and didn't take long. Because this filth is all over the place. And if you read carefully, because me, I'm a longtime practitioner of the art of word knowing, you'll find in this particular... let's see. The United States government has purchased 30,000 guillotines for what they say is the purpose of the government, which was also passed by U.S. Congress. Even American conservatives, American white wingers don't write like that. This is stuff written overseas for clickbait. And my God, they can find... it made it all the way to West Virginia now, didn't it? Damn Skippy. But really, where would such a crazy idea come from?
Fire-breathing Christian films, guillotines, FEMA camps, and the NWO.
The nation's third botched execution in 6 months has rekindled the debate over the death penalty.
So it starts with a botched execution in Oklahoma and a report from RT. And then it goes forward with pictures of Hitler, interspersed with pictures of Barack Obama. And then, Lou Dobbs.
In months. Now, to put all of this in perspective, the military used approximately 70 million rounds each year of the Iraq War. 70 million rounds in a war.
If you look at what the Department of Homeland Security has been purchasing over the last year, it comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition, more than 7,000 fully automatic assault weapons, 2,700 MRAP-type vehicles, and now drones. Those are instruments of war. Department of Homeland Security's, who are they going to fight a war against?
Something happened.
Well, I think we know from Ferguson that who they plan to fight a war against. They sure as shit didn't use them against the Bundy Bunch, but there's a hell of a lot of those MRAPs to be seen out at Standing Rock right about now. But, yeah, sure enough, and this thing goes on and on and on. And there's some Glenn Beck. There's some Steve Goofy.
Practice Christianity, and you could be court-martialed. That could be the new law of the land for our armed forces, thanks to a proposal by a religious tolerance group that claims Christian evangelists are predators.
And then, let's see, there's the Hannity job, court-martialing Christians? And the next thing you know, doofus in Beckley is saying that Hillary's got 30,000 guillotines she wants to use to chop the heads off of Christians and gun owners. Christian gun owners, right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all right. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. And come back to your calls. Brother Deacon Asa says, the 30,000 guillotine story got to be true, Bob. Think about it. Once the Y2K bug disables all the government M16s, what's Hitler going to use to slaughter all the Christians with? Well, of course. I will note that, the website's down. We need to raise $200 this evening. And to do that, just go to PayPal and then use bobkincaid@gmail.com, bobkincaid@gmail.com. And so that we're not in some sort of godforsaken hole tomorrow night. And, you know, big part of what comes in this evening will go to, you know, fire the website back up. Sorry. These things sneak up on me sometimes. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn.
Oh!
And we are exactly at the halfway point of this Moran Monday on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid, and let's run over and see what's on Steve from Georgia Stan's mind over on the Skype line. Hey, Steve. Steve?
Bob, can you hear me?
I can now.
Oh, okay. I get this mute thing mixed up. Blue is on, and I guess non-blue is off. Is that correct?
I got no idea, because I'm not running it. I don't run Skype on a Windows 10 machine.
Okay, but that was Election Day by Arcadian Grace Jones, wasn't it?
Yes.
Circa somewhere around the end of 1985, I think.
Yeah, mid-80s, about thereabouts, yeah.
Yeah. But I won't be long. I just wanted to thank you for having Mr. James on. My gosh, what a treat.
Oh, he's always a joy.
Karen and I used to schedule air Saturdays around, so we were home, so we could be home when he was on, you know. That was before before or after. He didn't used to always be 5 days a week. He used to just do just Saturdays. Is that correct?
At one point in time, yeah.
Yeah. But you were saying, have you ever heard him sing? I have. Dude can sing.
Oh, he's got a set of pipes.
Oh, my goodness. In fact, he turned me on. It was an old Stephen Foster song called Hard Times Will Come Again No More. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. But Emmylou Harris covered it. It would make the hair on your neck stand up, you know. And it's you ought to check it out. It's just as relevant today as it was 150 years ago.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I can find it if I look around here for a minute or two.
I'll send you a link via email or something, but it's just as poignant, you know, again, not to be repetitive, as it was 150 years ago. And yeah, he turned me onto that song, and I was in a band at the time, and I took the song to the band, and we worked it up and did it, and that got to be one of our most requested songs. And the beauty of it was there was no patent on it. After 100 years, all patents disappear, you know. So you can just play the hell out of it, and nobody can get pissed off and sue you or anything.
I'm looking for it here. Yeah, there it is. There it is. So, yeah, maybe we'll give it a listen here in a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be like any metal boon or anything. I mean, this is actually a good song. I mean,
right, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, again, I just wanted to thank you for getting him. Man, what a treat. Especially after being stressed out for the last 2 weeks, you know. And is there any way we could get him to do a Saturday show again, or he's just not interested in that?
No, he's just doing what he does.
Oh, okay. I would love to have him back, you know, because he has such a powerful voice. In fact, he was one of the first ones that said, we need to get the F out of Iraq. I mean, this was like 3 weeks after we was already in it, and this is terrestrial radio. You know, and he was the first radio voice that I ever heard say that.
Well, I know that there were a lot of progressive voices who were saying we needed not to go in there, but
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But he was the first one that I heard say, you know, let's just get out. And he may have been one of the ones saying we need not to go in as well. But that's my point. And I hope it's well received.
Absolutely. I imagine, I don't know, probably close to the end of the year or first week of January or sometime like that, I'll probably, I'll reach out to him again and we'll have our annual argument over college football, because that's a that's a dandy, too.
That gets him riled up, doesn't it?
Oh, man, there is no bigger Buckeye fan than Guy James.
But he's like you. You guys just have classic radio voices. You know, they grab the listener. They do. You got it, too. He's got it. It's a gift. Not everybody has it. So.
But when, you'll notice the amount of love that he had for Jim Harbaugh there, just ever so briefly.
I'm going to leave that one.
Oh, he hates him some Michigan Wolverines.
I know.
He hates him. Hates him.
Well, Bob, thanks for taking my call, brother.
Thanks for making it.
And I plan on being on the porch. I'll be the Georgia reporter tomorrow. You know, Georgia's a purple state. That's what they're saying.
It would be nice if y'all could. Yeah.
Hardy har 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 har.
Well, I don't know. Let's see what kind of numbers.
Hey, 20%.
17.7. I know nobody's supposed to like go to 538 anymore or anything, but it's right. Easy. It's just a thumbnail. Hillary's got a whole 17.7% chance in Georgia tomorrow. Which is a far cry from the 0.1% chance she has just to the west in Alabama, or the 0.2% chance she has in West Virginia.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob, since you got it pulled up. What is the overall stats? So last I looked, Trump had a 31.5% chance. Is that
the polls? The polls plus is 29.9. The polls only is 30.4. And the now cast is 29.9.
And Duncan hates negative thoughts, and I'm not trying to put that out there. But I will say this. Sometimes when there's a 30% chance of rain, guess what happens, Bob?
It rains.
Exactly.
Somewhere it rains.
You have a good evening,
but
my
friend. But I tell you what, if that 30% chance comes through, it ain't going to be no rain. That's going to be a shit storm.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, it will. Yes, it will. But hopefully,
you might. Cletus may very well want to hide under the bed tomorrow.
Well, I don't know. What can we do? What can we do? If he was to win, we just have to ride the shit storm out. I mean, what are our alternatives?
And I've seen a couple of Trumpansies who say, well, yeah, I mean, we may have to have armed revolution, but you know, if he wins. You know, the Democrats will just have to live with it.
You know, even like George Bush, what a moron he was, or Mitt Romney. At least you knew they weren't going to blow up the whole effing program, you know?
And, yeah, no,
Dim leader, I mean, he makes this guy look like a statesman, you know?
Well, yeah. It's not pretty.
It's troubling that we're at a place that he even has this remote of a chance of getting in there.
And of course, you know, down ballot for me tomorrow is just a mess too. I mean, my vote at the top of the ballot's easy compared to what, and then
we have no down ballot.
There's
one Senate race, and he has a snowball's chance of hell and winning. So, but I'm still going to hit him, you know, but it's not going to happen. Everything else, it's either Republican or you write somebody in.
The governor's race here is the real mess.
That's the real mess. But, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, I may have, but Jill Stein's not even on the ballot here.
Well, you know,
and not to piss anybody off out there. It is what it is. Hell, I didn't make it up.
Got to break up the duopoly, man.
She's not on it. Gary Johnson is. I mean, you can write her in, but I could write in Bob Kincaid if I wanted to, you know, which I just may do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
No, I won't. Bob, it's been a real pleasure, and I will check you tomorrow. I'll be here on the porch, okay?
All right. Say hi to Karen and Cletus for me.
Will do, sir. Have a good evening.
Later now. Steve calling from Georgia Stan. And let's see, is that... wait a second. Wrong. Yeah. Is that you, Charlie?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What's happening?
Oh, nothing much, Bob. I'm kind of let down on this election. I don't think that there's going to be that much difference who gets elected. I mean, you know, these people start talking about job-killing regulations and all that. This has been in the works to export jobs way back since 1980. I mean, you know, it's you could remove the federal government and the people that get money, they don't earn it. They lay on their lazy rear end and get it by shipping jobs to cheaper countries, and they're not good Americans. And this has been in the works for a long time.
Charlie, that's just typical capitalism. You know, there was an upsurge in jobs in the South when capitalists who wanted to bust unions in the Northeast move things like textile mills to places like Georgia. Cheap labor. Alabama, cheap labor. Well, guess what? Labor got cheaper somewhere else. Honduras. You know, Bangladesh. Vietnam. China. How long were Nikes actually made in the United States before Phil Knight built his first plant in Vietnam?
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, I firmly believe that you take care of your own first, and until we have a lot of economic laws changed in this country, it's still going to keep on. And if you listen to Hillary Clinton, she supports globalism and, you know, crap like the TPP and all that. She's right in the center of it.
A long time ago, a nasty, nasty woman named Margaret Thatcher came up with an acronym, TINA. And it was in regard to globalism. TINA stands for There Is No Alternative. And if all you're looking for is cheap labor, there's not. So, Benito Cheeto's stupid red hats are made in China, okay? They just are.
I know it, and it's, you know, I mean, whether it's going to be who gets elected. I mean, you hear Donald Trump talking about bringing jobs back to America. Hell, he's not going to bring anything back to America.
No, hell no. I
mean, and Hillary Clinton's not either. I mean, she's into the globalist thing. And, you know, that's one of the big letdowns about Barack Obama. He's into it, too. I mean, you know, I can't understand why people just don't put their foot down and say, okay, this is it. If you don't like it, you got money, leave. Get out of my country. But they won't do that.
Well, it's a way, see, commerce is a way for us to exert, exert hegemonic political control through capitalism in countries where maybe we otherwise couldn't.
And that makes people hate us.
Well, they hate us, but on the other hand, the people who have the damn jobs like us. And it does, you know, they know what they're doing. How much choice does a factory worker in one of those jobs? We can't even conceptualize the size of the factory plantations in China. I mean, they're bigger than most of many of them are bigger than most of our cities. And
yep.
I guess folks are happy to have those jobs.
Well, the thing about it is it's going to, you know, this country is eventually just going to implode. I mean, we don't manufacture things here anymore. And it's not because of environmental regulations. I am getting so sick and tired of hearing that I just, you know, I mean, there's other countries that have stricter environmental regulations in Europe than we have, and yet they still manufacture things. So that's not very truthful for people to say that. I mean, you know, and Donald Trump's got these people eating out of his hand, and I just don't understand it. I guess they're stupid, you know.
Here's the real kicker, Charlie. If he was to become president and not a damn job came back here, they would not hold him accountable for it. And I know this to be fact because I remember the eight years of the reign of error under Dim Leader. He never had actual job growth. He had net job loss for 8 years and was never held to account for it. Now, on the other hand, Barack Obama comes in. And you get stories like, well, there was modest job growth, but not as much as we had hoped for. Not as much as economic forecasters had, blah, 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 blah. But it was job growth.
Well, you know, the thing that really bugs me about Barack Obama is he started kissing up to this guy named Donahue that's head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce instead of telling him he should have dropped his trousers and said, here, kiss this back here. We don't have anything to do with you. But he didn't do that. I mean, I just, you know, I'm sorry. I don't understand Barack Obama. He'll say one thing and do something else.
It's like I was saying with Guy James. We projected a lot onto Barack Obama. He's a centrist, okay? He always has been a centrist. Most presidents of the United States in non-extraordinary election years will be center-center-right types. I mean, you saw what happened to Bernie, right?
Yep.
Empires do not select imperial administrators from the left or far left or center, even center-left. And there is nothing center-left about Barack Obama. Just isn't, okay?
Yep. I know it.
But the fact of the matter is, that's another aspect of it. We can talk about jobs till hell freezes over, but you know what? $9 an hour at Walmart will not feed a family. Because for starters, those rapacious bastards will not let you get 40 hours a week or anything. Hell, you'd have to work 60 hours a week with time and a half to even approach something considerable as a realistic wage. And they're not going to let that happen. Because we do not have laws that compel them to pay their workers what they're worth. Instead, it all goes into the Walton family heirs' pockets.
And that's just one example. And one thing that really hacks me off is, you know, you have these people that keep talking about, well, you know, the people on government assistance, they're raising our taxes. We have to pay more taxes to support them. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, hell, if you paid them a decent wage, you wouldn't have to do that now, would you? You know?
No, you wouldn't. But Wall Street would have a damn conniption.
I don't know. It's.
But the question is, where are you going to... Is Donald Trump going to change Wall Street? Hell no. They know him for who he is, and they can buy him for what he says he's worth, and sell him for what he is worth, and it makes not a damn bit of difference to him.
Yep. Yeah. Until we start supporting our own people in this country, it's. I don't care whether you call it socialism or what. I mean, you know, you just can't stand by and watch people starve. That's wrong.
Well, you can if you're a Republican. You damn sure can if you're a Trump. And look, the Trumpanzee voters do not give a good goddamn what happens to anybody as long as it's not happening to them.
That's correct.
Now, as the Bible says, if it starts happening to them, they'll be the first ones to holler, Lord, Lord.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I mean, it's the answer to all this is so simple, you know. I mean, just treat people decently, treat them as you want to be treated. And, you know, you may have to lower your standard of living a little bit because, you know, you're not going to be in the 1% anymore. But, you know, at least you can say you've treated people decently. But they don't want to do that. You know, it's to them, it's all money. And how they come by this money makes no difference to them. And that's just wrong.
Well, that's because we don't have any of those job-killing regulations.
Well, I'll get off here and let somebody else talk. And it's been good talking to you.
All right, Charlie, good talking to you. You take care now, you hear?
Okay.
Right, have you already voted, or are you going to do that tomorrow?
No, I'm going to do it tomorrow.
I'm old school, too. All right. Well, maybe. Hopefully you'll be around tomorrow evening.
Okie doke. Thank you.
All right. See ya. Bye now.
Bye.
It's our buddy Charlie calling from Tennistan. Both lines are open. Well, all three lines are open. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, 304-574-8178, or the stress line, which is what Charlie was on, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. And I got some news here from Brother Deacon Asa. Because he knows that we are in a hole that needs to be filled in. I mean, you know, the usual $200 evening fundraising goal. Asa said, I'll match the first 50 that come in to bobkincaid@gmail.com via PayPal. And that's what all you got to do is go to paypal.com, use the send function, use Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. And Brother Deacon Asa will match the first 50. Your 50 becomes 100, your 25, 50. It's your 10, 25, 10, et cetera, et cetera. But we do need to not be in a hole tomorrow evening because, among other things, I've got to pay for the damn website. Didn't get the notice until just before airtime this evening. So, the matching offer on the table. Gerald pointing out they don't want to treat people decently because they don't have to treat people decently. And that's, you know, that is the distilled essence of parfum de capitalism. Don't do anything that you are not forced to do. You know, what's that old line about power never concedes anything but that it has been demanded of it? Yeah, that. And you'll pardon me, this being Moran Monday, you'll pardon me if I'm a little skeptical here. You know, we've played a lot of clips from the Beckerhead over the years. Various manifestations of him losing his mind on air and talking about Jesus and making a bogus celebrity out of a fake historian. What's his name? Can't remember. Wall builder guy. But I've been following for about the last year or so, just because I follow some media things and I find it all interesting. He, after his stints at Headline News and then Fox, walked away with a pretty pocket full of money. And so he went out and founded The Blaze. And then he founded his broadcast media empire, Mercury Radio Arts, because I guess he idolizes Orson Welles. And what was that, the Mercury Radio Players, something like that. And has, through combinations of paranoia and terrible business decisions, because, you know, he's the talent. He's not a businessman. The talent seldom is very good at the business end of broadcasting. Hell, I'm living proof. But then again, I'm not trying to take over the world. He is, whatever. But over the course of the past year or so, the Beckerheads' media empire has been crumbling amid scandal and hemorrhaging money. And I'd say he's probably the most noteworthy person he's got going right now is Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016, Tommy Lauren. More on her in a minute. But because I speak Wingnut, and because I speak, I can translate from the original Weasel, I read this and knew it for what it was. Now, you may recall a few minutes ago that Guy James reminded us that Ed Schultz had reinvented himself from being a Rush Limbaugh wannabe to a liberal. And, you know, seems to be sincere about it, but 30 years of trying to be Rush Limbaugh in North Dakota, and then, boom, you know, liberal. Well, Talking Points Memo had the story earlier today. Glenn Beck, Obama made me a better man. And I think Glenn and I are pretty much near the same age. The pundit has been outspoken about his dislike for Donald Trump, has criticized Republicans for refusing to consider President Obama's Supreme Court nominee, and has even urged empathy for the Black Lives Matter movement. Well, now, he's taken another turn. I did a lot of freaking out about Barack Obama, he told The New Yorker in a recent interview. Obama made me a better man. Well, that part remains to be seen. Obama made me a better man. There are things unique to the African-American experience that I cannot relate to. I had to listen to them. Yeah, because he listened so well. And he had kind words for Michelle Obama. Talking about the speech she gave in New Hampshire. She didn't say the government should do X, Y, or Z. She said, we, us, without a political party, we are better. We need to stop this. It had to do with who are you as a human being? How do you view women? Brilliant speech. That was a moment that transcended all political thought, he added. And he went on to tell the New Yorker in the interview that Trump is dangerously unhinged. And for all the things people have said about me over the years, I should be able to spot dangerously unhinged. With his right-wing media empire collapsing around him, any takers? Anybody want to bet that Glenn Beck might suddenly become a moderate Republican? Yeah, just ponder it. I'd say it's a possibility. And, you know, it'll be the return of the prodigal son. It'll be, you know, kill the fatted calf time. Sorry, vegans. And if he should do that, oh my God, the progressive community. Oh, look, he was lost, but now is found. Oh my goodness. I guess there's no market for just having been consistent. Oh, well. Hey, let's run over and check in with Scott and Punky. What do you say, Scott?
Well, I say we're almost free at last, Bob. One more day. Not even a day.
I can't get there because I know what comes on. I know what comes on the 9th and the 4 years after.
Oh, I know.
I'm such a Debbie Downer.
If we can get but a brief respite, you know, even from now till Inauguration Day, that would be enough for me just to kick back. Not even go for days and days without even turning on the television, you know? And speaking of television, have you ever had occasion to watch the 24/7 news streaming thingy that CBS launched a while back called CBSN?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have.
I don't have the tier of cable service anymore. Haven't had it for at least 6 months. With like CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. So my fallback has been, lo these many months, for 24/7 news, or at least a close equivalent, has been the CBSN. And for what it is, for free, it does a job. I mean, if something big happens, they will at least give you the broad outlines of what's going on and maybe even have pictures, you know.
Well, remember, I'm the guy without cable, so...
Okay, well then, yeah, you know all about CBSN then. So I get up today about noon and fire up the TV and fire up the app, you know, via Roku to watch CBSN while I'm fixing my coffee and getting Punky fed and all that stuff. And they showed a video previously done, maybe even on CBS this morning, with Frank Luntz. You know who Frank Luntz is, right?
Oh, yes.
And he's doing everything but weeping real tears over the hateful state of left versus right in his focus groups that he's been doing lately, where, you know, they're just one or two steps away from an old edition of Geraldo where they break out the chairs and the ball bats and God knows what else, you know?
Oh, Frank Luntz can suck a tailpipe as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I had another idea for what he would wrap his lips around. But anyway, and I'm sitting there listening to this, not having had the benefit of the first swig of coffee. And I'm saying, you fat, inauthentic bastard, How dare you act as if your skirts are clean and your hands are pure and that you had nothing to do with the current state of things in this country in terms of discourse between ordinary citizens. You son of a bitch. Your word weaving for the last 20 goddamned years has been mostly responsible for the wretched state of political discourse between human beings in this freaking country. He is the guy who gave us death tax. Do you remember when he did a little...
Yeah, Newt Gingrich started with the language bullshit, and he followed and perfected it.
Oh, yeah, Luntz jumped right on that gravy train and rode it to fame and fortune. But that son of a bitch, I said the... And Glenn Beck, this is what made me think of him. When you talk about Glenn Beck, Obama has made me a better man. Well, horseshit. Just large globules of horseshit. You know? These people, they see that the jig is almost up for the right wing in terms of this coming election, in my estimation. And now they're like Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver. Around Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver, oh, it's hello, Mrs. Cleaver. What a lovely dress you're wearing, Mrs. Cleaver. But when Wally and the Beeve and Lumpy and the rest of them are out behind the garage whacking off or smoking cigarettes, Eddie Haskell's true colors come out. And this Frank Luntz son of a bitch and this Glenn Beck son of a bitch are both modern-day punditry equivalents to Eddie Haskell. Jesus Christ, it pisses me off. But otherwise, I'm fine.
Well, why does it have to be a dichotomy? Why can't they be whacking off and smoking cigarettes?
Well,
that's all I want to know.
Yeah, I've seen that South of the Border movie from Tijuana with the lady smoking in a most unusual way, and I'm not sure whether that was before or after the close encounter with the burrow, but I'm just kidding.
Baby, I am not from Havana.
But do you know who we need today? I used to say it was George Carlin, but who we need more than anybody else on the scene today is Dr. Hunter S. Thompson.
Well, that's kind of why I quoted him a few minutes ago. The hogs are in the tunnel, and they will travel on a road of bones.
Yeah, and I watched a couple of video segments on YouTube the other night with the good doctor, and I'm telling you, he would just... He would be in hog heaven, as it were, with today's political environment. He thought Nixon was bad. Boy, he didn't have any idea. He didn't even see Trump coming.
You know, he thought he'd seen it at its worst and checked out. And that's just such a damn shame. But of course, I'm kind of I'm into boutique thought, and not a day goes by, whatever the latest Trump outrage is, that I'm not going, God damn it, Joe Bajant, really. I mean, if anybody can rise from the dead, how about you do it, okay? Please, Joe, please. Because, of course, you can go back to his prior writings, and it's all there. The context is different because it's Bush, but the pissed off white people are still the same pissed off white people. It's not that different, you know. Have you ever read Deer Hunting with Jesus?
No, and who wrote this?
Joe Bajant, Bagent.
It rings a bell, but I'm sure I haven't read it. I've probably heard of it.
Ask at the public library; they'll get it in for you, probably. You know, a prophet is without honor in his own land. The man wrote that book and immediately got huge all over the world, everywhere but here, and had a dedicated following here. And you know, this is all of a piece with everything that he was saying throughout the early parts of the first decade of this century. It's, I mean, the people that. the Tracy Jan comes down here and writes about for the Boston Globe. Well, Joe was writing about those folks 10 years ago with a hell of a lot more authenticity. I think it's let me check here. I mean, you can go and read all of his essays. I think it's Joe Bagent. Yeah. JoeBagent.net. BAGEANT. JoeBagent.net.
Okay. I'll check that out.
Yeah, I mean, you can just listen to some of these titles. America, Why Your Peeps Be So Dumb. Adam Smith Meets Cousin Ronnie's Boy. Escape from the Zombie Food Court. And look, America's White Underclass. Dispatch from the Chinese Landfill, Waltzing at the Doomsday Ball. Poor White and Pissed. It Ain't Easy Being White. And, you know, it's not like Joe was some sort of Klansman. He wasn't.
Now that you're mentioning some of the titles of stuff he's written, I know I know of him and have read some of his stuff. Damn, that pisses me off that I can't remember where I know it from. Oh, well, I'll figure it out. Because I'm sure his stuff has been picked up on websites over the years. It just rings such a familiar bell, but I just can't. I'm still pissed off about Glenn Beck and Frank Luntz. Jeez.
Well, but I mean, it's the scorpion and the snake. You know, I mean, you knew what it was when we started out.
Yeah. Well, and you know that routine that they're both engaging in, that Eddie Haskell routine, and it is just so phony and how people can't see through it. You know, I always try to appreciate where folks are coming from, even if I don't agree with them. But damn it, it's getting harder and harder. It tries my loving humanist patience to do it sometimes. And, you know, and I do fear about what's next because, you know, time was people who disagreed politically with one another could at least work together towards some mutual beneficial goal and be civil to one another. Where those days are long gone, baby. I mean, back when people used to have filters or governors on their speech and behavior, you know, we all kind of got along and made do as best we could. But now, all the gloves are not only off, but the regulators and the governors and the filters are off. So there ain't much more room between where we are now and the top of the container in terms of ratcheting it up levels. You know, it's going to have to come out of the box and wind up in the streets. And that's not in so many words, but that's the type of thing that we've talked about before. Where does it, you know, what's next and how bad will it get? And that's the scary part. And that's the unknown part, because there are stuff that people are doing and saying today that in my wildest imaginings, I would never have suspected could come to pass in the public arena. Well, you know, I was disabused of that notion in the 2016 election cycle. That's for sure.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're all looking toward tomorrow, Scott, and we're all like, I mean, I don't know what time I'll go vote. I like to go vote in the morning. But you know, I don't know. So,
how close is your polling place? Is it fairly convenient for you?
That's 2 miles. It's
local. Well, that's not bad.
It's the local elementary school.
Well, I wouldn't have become a permanent by-mail voter out here in California a few cycles ago had they not moved my polling station to a place that was not on a bus route and involved a lot of walking over hills and things.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, let me see. I would say it was in the wake of the 2012 election, because I remember voting in person at this new polling place.
Yeah, so in other words, it was after they gutted the Voting Rights Act.
Well, it was about like 2014, I guess, because that was the next possible election.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of transportation, I'm glad they settled the Philadelphia Transit strike, because a lot of voters in urban areas don't have their own vehicles. They get around by public transportation, and that would have been a big problem for Election Day, and hopefully that's all straightened out for tomorrow.
Well, but it's not going to be. Everything's not going to be straight. By the time we get to air tomorrow night, there will already be a legion of stories about how hard it's been for people to vote. Oddly enough,
I'm talking about the transit situation.
No. I get that.
Okay.
But it'll be hard for people to vote in Philly. It'll be hard for none of the stories about how hard it is for people to vote will come from places where white people want to vote. Let's just be clear about that.
Of course.
So, I don't know. All we can do is wait and see. Scott, have yourself a good evening.
Okay, Bob, and we'll all get together tomorrow on the Election Day front porch, and we'll be in it together, if nothing else.
All we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it.
You got that right. See you later, man.
All right. See ya. Bye now.
Bye.
Scott and Punky out in San Diego way. 12 minutes past the hour, I'm happy to announce that ACE's challenge has been met. Thank you very kindly to Charlie and to Jay Cruzen. Thank you, Jay Cruzen, very kindly. That means we've got $75 to go in fundraising at the bare minimum. And maybe we'll get there in the next 45 minutes. It would be wonderful if we could. The website's kind of a mess right now, and that's one of the things I have to rather urgently pay for. Just go to paypal.com, use the send feature, type in Bob Kincaid, BOBKINCAID, @gmail.com, and then, put in the, whatever number you wish to put in. Let's run over to the stress line and check in with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, man. Anybody home?
I'm here. You there?
I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me. I got this funny little thing that come with the telephone, the little headphone thing.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you fine. Everybody hears you fine.
Okay, I just wanted to chime in on the Glenn Beck thing. I really have to get this out here. Glenn Beck is a mercenary. Yeah, he may be mentally ill if he did have that little breakdown, but I'm telling you, anybody can Google this, right before I moved, just a few months before I moved, he was based right there, right across from the Constitution Center on Market Street, where WMMR and WYSP and KYW News Radio 1060, the news station, right there in the middle of town. And he got mugged, and he lost his shit. But before that, like I used to listen to him. He was reasonable. He was like a populist. He was middle of the road. He would just kind of give his take on what was going on in society. He was not right wing at all, period. And when you said what you said about me, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, I was like, yeah, Bob is right. You know what the fuck you're talking about. This guy, man, you can't treat, he's a snake. He'll go wherever the money is, or wherever his mental illness takes him. I mean, I really encourage everybody to Google that, because you might be onto something. I'm just saying, like, he got mugged. He left work one day, and he got mugged right there at Fifth and Martin. And it's like, it's a nice part of town, you know, it's the whole city. And that's all I have to say about that, besides what else is going on and how close this election is and how scared I am. You know, this is a... How are you feeling?
I feel like a dog trying to pass a peach pit, Todd. I mean, it's... And I'd like to calm down, but I don't see it happening. I'm just funny that way. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's in my nature, and Jesus Christ only knows what tomorrow will bring. I mean,
well,
is that okay? I'm just a mess.
And by the way, apparently, not apparently, but yeah, I think that you were what many people think. You were right with Comey. He's just a slimy piece of shit.
Oh, for God's sakes! Yeah. Oh, I forgot. I forgot to mention Comey's next letter. Jesus. Now, if what I saw was correct, and I think I saw it on my buddy Horst's feed on Facebook. Comey's home in Connecticut has a Trump sign in front of it.
Oh, stop it. I am so fucking done. Are you serious?
If it was legit, if it was real, and, you know, at least I don't say, well, it's not like the 30,000 guillotines, you know. Well, it's on the internet, it must be true.
Keith, do you understand that the world markets, the world money markets, gold, our stock markets, all that shit fluctuated hinging on what that person was commenting on, i.e. Comey?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That, you know, that is unacceptable behavior. He needs to go. He needs to turn in his letter, man. Something's wrong with him.
His resignation should be on Obama's desk, in the, you know, like in the morning. But there it is. So Horst reposted a post from a guy named Chris Grimm in Westport, Connecticut. FBI Director James Comey's house is in Westport, Connecticut. Sheriff, you think that Comey was trying to swing the election to Trump? Absolutely undoctored photo. I took it myself. I live a mile away. And it's a big, white, beautiful country, a two-story garreted country estate with a Trump-Pence sign out front.
Okay. That's one of those expensive suburbs north of New York City. Yeah. So, you know, what a dick. He's not even for cold work. I mean, my God, what an asshole. What? I just can't believe that. What the hell is he thinking about?
He has his own agenda, and if you do a little background reading, what you'll find out is that he likes to have, I mean, he has his own hissies. You know, the rest of the Justice Department said, don't release that letter. He did it anyway. Back with the Apple encryption issue, they said, listen, we're working on an encryption device, and if you run your mouth, you're going to ruin the whole damn program. So he ran his mouth anyway. He's a little martinet. He's a little petty tyrant, and he doesn't like to be told no.
Oh.
In other words, he's a Republican.
Right. So he sounds a little Trumpish now. I see that. Okay. That's making more sense. Yeah, I forgot about
that. I didn't even view it in that light, but yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Something happened to him, and he feels slighted, and he's got to get back at everybody. You know, nobody cares if they see your dick. Who cares about that? so what? You have a little like lycanthropy. You got some hair on your palms. Who cares? But you know, he's a little crazy dude, man. Something's wrong with him. I mean, we're talking about our country and the stock market. You know, what he says has a lot of gravity. You know, and does he not understand the history? Like it wasn't that long ago that, well, it happens every few years, you know, with the FBI with Quantico, when they were fudging evidence to prosecute people, you know, in favor of the prosecution. You know, well, anyway, I'm not trying to get off on the conspiracy. It's not conspiracy, but it's true. You know, the FBI is not as clean as we would like to think. But,
Well, since when did we think it was?
Yeah. I mean, it's really not, folks. So anybody who's thinking that it's really, I mean, it would be great. It would be great if it was. It would be wonderful. But it doesn't work like that. It really doesn't work like that.
No.
I mean, but you know what? That's capitalism, like you say. Because, I mean, look at the Pinkertons. I mean, they hire private armies to fire at coal miners and, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, it's just across the board. But or something else that I heard, I don't know, I heard Tracy mention it, I don't know, last week. Anybody who has a link or who has cable, you know, that Insecure show is hilarious. That shit is too fucking funny. And it's so real. I mean, HBO has got some good shows on now. Westworld, Insecure, Divorce.
I'm so far behind the times Agnes and I started watching Black Sails last night. That's 2014, and there's pirates involved.
It's okay. You know what? I didn't watch Sopranos until, you know, we were well into the naught. And I had the opportunity to see everything like twice over, and I was like, wow. I mean, once you get through all the violence and the bullshit, you know, a good show is a good show, and that it requires. It's like a good book. You can read it. A good book you can read twice. A good movie you need to own it because you see something different every time you watch it. It's like good writing, I think. But I just wanted to get that out there about this mercenary type person, Glenn Beck, because I'm telling you, he was just middle of the road populist. He made sense, and all of a sudden he just went crazy.
Oh, I remember hearing him on the radio, and I mean, you could tell he was a right winger, but he was more interested in making people laugh than he was, you know, anything else. But then he gets the headline news gig, and then from there to Fox, and you know, the wheels are off. And of course, misaggrieved white privilege 2016, Tommy Lauren is one of, I guess she works for him. And the funniest thing over the course of the weekend, did you catch it when the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini was quickly hustled off the stage out in what, Vegas, was it? Well, it turned out some Trumpanzees were beating the shit out of a guy with an anti-Trump sign, and some idiot hollered "gun," and so the Secret Service hustled him off stage. And immediately the Trumpanzees started hollering, "There's been an assassination attempt on Donald Trump's life," which of course was a great big goddamn lie. But Tommy Lauren was having none of it. She immediately tweeted, "Trump finishes rally after assassination scare. Hillary faints in 76-degree weather. You decide who has the stamina and fearlessness to lead."
I was not impressed from millisecond one. That shit looked like a setup. I'm not going to curse anymore. That looked like a setup to me. I'm sorry. That just looked so staged. You know, they had somebody. Well, they were ready for that, in other words, I think.
Well, I mean, he was at grave risk from a fully automatic assault poster.
All right, let's back up for one second. Why would anybody do that? You know what these people are like. All right, you feel like, all right, fine, you feel like that. Why would you put yourself in jeopardy and get stomped? And you know there's just a bunch of neo-Nazi white racist people who like to shoot guns just looking, they're just looking for somebody to shoot. They can't stand it. They probably can't even sleep. They're like, oh, I got my magazine is loaded. I just can't stand it. I mean, these people are out of control. And I don't know. It's a little disturbing, the whole thing, because just like Trump says, it's rigged. It's rigged in his favor. That's what, you can read between the lines. That's what he's saying. If he loses or if he wins, either way, it's going to be rigged, like he's been saying. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. It's just so disturbing. We should not be in this place. Here we are. So, anyway, the main reason I called was about the mercenary Glenn Beck. You know, it's all about the money. And, he's got to pay his psychiatric bills, man. His therapist is milking him dry. Are you kidding?
And now Trump's wrapped up his campaign by having a campaign event with Ted Nugent. Of course.
Well, I hope you enjoy your tequila tomorrow.
Nah, I'm gonna be stone cold sober. I don't dare be anything else. I mean, it could get weird around here real fast.
Okay, well, we just have to.
I mean, a little town, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's not some idiot strapping at the polling place.
Yeah.
And I will walk away from the polling place, and I will call the Secretary of State's office and say, I do not feel safe voting because there's an idiot with a gun at my polling place.
I forgot we live with. Yeah. You're, man, that's not good. That's the craziest thing. I don't get that. I mean, come on, what are they thinking? That's just not a good idea. And at some point, maybe the local legislators need to say, we are Republicans and we stand by Trump, but we don't stand by people poll watching because this is an open carry state, blah, blah, blah. When there's no crack, you're not going to hear that, are you?
Not a lot, no.
That's frightening, man. I mean, if you're a single guy or whatever, you're walking around, that's one thing. But people have families and kids and shit, man, and girlfriends, or anybody, man. That's a family member, man. That's true. All right.
I know.
Anyway. I'm going to get off, man. Somebody wants to talk to you. I just, when I heard Glenn Beck, man, I know his history. I'm telling you, a couple months before I moved, and he just changed up. And I was like, this guy's crazy. He sounded normal. And then they put in Dennis Prager with his dumb ass. Oh, my God, I can't stand him. And so that was it. So, anyway, I guess we'll talk some other time.
Well, front porch action tomorrow night. Plenty of room for you if you want to jump in.
Yeah, I'm learning how to use that thing now. It was a little weird at first, but I think I see how it works.
Yeah, it gets easier every time. Todd, you take care, my friend.
All right, bud.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye now.
All right.
Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Fundraising update. We have $65 to go. Thank you very kindly to Cletus for going out and dipping into her Milkbone Fund. That is much appreciated indeed. Thank you very kindly. $65 to go in fundraising for the evening. And with any luck at all, I'll, get the website paid for. It'd be kind of nice to get out in front for tomorrow night's front porch and everything. I mean, there's corn liquor to buy and everything and snacks for the passer. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, the website's screwed up, so you got to go through paypal.com is all I'm saying. And I appreciate it very, very much. We all do. Let's go and Let's go and check in with Laurel right now. What's happening, Laurel?
Oh, not too much. Just a quiet evening, just sort of waiting for the storm. I used to be a storm chaser during my younger days, back when my vision was good and gas was cheap. And I tell you what, it feels a lot like those days when I'd be, you know, out there on the prairie watching this big thunderstorm spin up. And we're at that moment right before it decides whether to fizzle out or drop a monster F5 that's going to chew up a couple of small towns.
Wipe out a few churches and such. Yeah.
I can't help it. This is probably my white privilege showing through, but I'm actually fascinated by what's going on. I'm fascinated by this phenomenon. I'm fascinated by this Trump phenomenon. Even though it's a horrifying fascination, I can't take my eyes off of it. No, not, I guess the rest of the world can't either. I mean, that seems to be taking up all the oxygen in the room, just seeing the reaction from other countries across the planet. It's almost as if Hillary Clinton isn't running. It's like, what's Trump going to do next? And that's the reaction from everywhere. But there's just this sense that something incredibly fascinating and horrifying could happen. And you're just at that last moment where you're about to find out. And it's almost an electrifying feeling. It really is. And I hate to put it in terms like that, but...
Oh, man, I used to get all chill bumps and fife and drum corps and on election day, because it was drilled into me from the moment that I was a child that this was something special. This was something that really mattered.
And I mean, I realize, you know, I have about as much of a chance to make a big difference in this election as I do of, you know, convincing my cousins or Facebook friends that I'm not completely nuts for voting for Hillary. I mean,
but you know, you're in Minnesota. You have a job to do. You have to keep that state blue.
I have to, because I mean, I've got a lot of Facebook friends in Minnesota, and they are diehard Trump.
And it is on you. Okay, it's on all of us. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go and cast the vote that I said I was going to cast long months ago. I'm gonna be consistent with my values. So
I tell you what, I've got a much easier choice for governor. Mark Dayton for governor. He's probably the one who should have been ultimately on the top of that Democratic ticket, because he's been dealing with this Republican House up here in St. Paul, and he's been, you know, he's been kicking ass and taking names. He knows how to deal with a hostile Congress, and believe me, to have somebody like that in Washington would make all the difference in the world. And I understand Hillary's a fighter, but you know, I would love to see what a Mark Dayton would do in that situation. So that governor is a very easy one for me to vote for. And trust me, you know, I've got my eye down ballot, you know, made connections with the people running for my local states and Senate and House seats. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it, but don't get me wrong. This Trump phenomenon has been fascinating for me, especially the last couple of months when it's really become apparent that this is going to be a close race.
And let me just say something about that real quick, Laurel. I said all along it's going to be a close race. They're all close races now, because this is a deeply divided country. It's the angry, pissed off white people against everybody else. And there's still enough angry, pissed off white people to make a difference in places like Ohio and Florida and Nevada. And so we may as well get used to it. And to the extent that the for-profit media can have an impact on it, they're going to work for a horse race, because guess what? All those people, like I said, who've early voted and said, well, fuck it, I don't have to look at it anymore, they're back looking at those screens again. And the money's rolling in to CBS and ABC and NBC and CNN.
A very happy man, right? Yes, exactly. Yeah, I understand how the game runs. I understand how the process goes. It's You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, everything has become a business this, you know, these days. But like I said, we'll just keep our fingers crossed. I'll, you know, probably join tomorrow night. I've, you know, got the whole week off just kind of resting up here from this cold. I'm getting a little bit better from it. So, you know, hopefully by the time the weekend rolls around, I'll be up and ready to roll again. LT's outside playing with the neighbor dogs. That's why you don't hear him right now. But he says hi. But just... I can't help but say I'm not looking, you know, I'm looking forward to what's going to happen. I just can't wait to see what's going to happen. Like I said, it's not like, you know, like I said, if I were a minority, I couldn't look at this with anything other than absolute terror. And like I said, that's your white privilege right there. The fact that I can look at this situation with anything but absolute terror is proof of white privilege right there in a nutshell. But I won't keep you any longer. Thanks for the bumper sticker. I received that in the mail the other day. That's proudly displayed on.
Oh, my yay!
2003. Yes, finally came.
Well,
in.
Now we got to start. Now we got to start sending in pictures of people with their horn bumper stickers.
Exactly.
And then I'll start putting them up on the Facebook page.
And I love your idea for starting a band with the name 30,000 Guillotines. I'm a bit of a musician myself. I'll see if I can't get some people up on that.
Well, do so. Please. I mean, I think there's real potential there. And if somebody doesn't, then rock and roll really is dead.
Exactly. Well, thanks for taking my call, Bob. Hang on. Tomorrow's going to be a wild ride. You be good.
Ah. Cotton, she can't stand much more.
Yeah, right. Take care, Laurel. Bye now.
You too, Bob. Bye.
Laurel calling from southwest Minnesota, where Little Thunder is out in the yard playing with the neighbor dogs. And, oh my goodness, could it be? It is. Over at FYINation.com, it's Thomas. Hey, Thomas.
How are you doing today?
A little Thorazine dart in the back of the neck and the code. That's what we need, a little Thorazine dart in the back of the neck and the code.
Yeah, I hear you. You mentioned my arch nemesis, and I'm sure somewhere Jules is rolling her eyes at the fact that we're talking about Glenn Beck, because I'm going to be talking about Glenn Beck in my show.
What, is Jules the program director?
No, but she really doesn't like it when I talk about Glenn Beck.
But the Becker head is fun to talk about.
I know, but she doesn't see the fun.
I mean, you want to talk about just an entertainment bargain? Go back to that. Go back to that half mad, out of his mind on opioids after prostate surgery thing that he did when he was still with CNN. That's gold.
Yes. I especially liked, my audience didn't like me for this very much when I had my afternoon show. I've since moved to nights where we get a smaller audience, but I like it because I can actually get sleep during the day. And I'm after you, and I don't, you know, typically, you know, go over your time. Except for a debate, sorry. I liked his style of the fact that he could do what you do, which is tell a story. He's a very good storyteller. He has a manner and ability to capture you in, but you have to remind yourself.
But then the acid kicks in and you realize, right.
Yeah, you have to continually remind yourself that he's batshit crazy.
Yeah, it's not the acid kicking in; it's the acid kicking in on him. No, I used to sit and just like with the TV thing, the set that he built with the robotic remote operated cameras and stuff swinging around. It was gorgeous. It was just gorgeous. Yeah. The content was absolute Thorazine dart madness. But yes. but the production values were amazing.
Yeah, no, he is on a level of artistic genius only, not content. Artistic genius. He is like Picasso to me. when it comes to set values and how his presentation and how he can suck you in and how he can get you just in a few words and then transition into a Blinds fucking commercial.
And don't forget to buy your gold, boys and girls. Remember, the secret code is capitalism.
I mean, but
that was straight out of Christmas Story, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that alone, you have to have some respect for him, just in the artistry of it. I'm not talking the message. I'm not talking the crazy. And again, this guy is my arch nemesis. He worked at WELI, a station in New Haven, Connecticut. He had an hour show before he went batshit crazy and went Mormon. And while he was finding himself. And he had an hour show, and he lived at one point on the same street that I grew up on. So this man is my arch nemesis.
Wait. Brushes with Greatness.
So, I mean, but like for a whole hour, this man could take, he could literally suck up all the oxygen in the room and talk. And I always had a huge amount of respect for that, but not for what he was saying. And I think our problem as progressives, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, still waiting for your hate mail, doubtingtom@fynation.com. I know my email works. I get enough spam from fucking Elizabeth Warren. So if you could send me some hate mail.
This is getting a little pitiful, okay? Somebody send some hate mail to Thomas, please, okay?
and not pity hate mail, please.
I've got all my hate mail just goes in immediately into a spam folder. I have a special algorithm set up. I mean, any email that's got Jill Not Hill in it, straight to spam. I never even see it.
You can send me those. I'll read them on the show.
Yeah, and the name of that folder is Tofu Palin. Shit. Quit telling people how to vote, Bob!
And on the last day, too, Bob. Come on. God damn it. Can't you give it a rest?
I know. If I just shut up, she would have gotten 1.81% of the vote instead of 1.79.
She would have won. Who are you kidding?
Oh, well, we gotta quit. We gotta quit. This is just mean.
Bastard.
Oh, well, yeah. Nobody said I was America's sweetheart.
Well, at least we know who to blame, you and me.
It's me.
I'll take the blame.
Carol Baker wants to know, is pity hate mail like pity sex?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when it's bad, it's good, it's great, and when it's bad, it's still pretty good. I mean, is it like yes. Pizza? And, right.
Yeah, exactly, and we still do need to have that talk. Talk aside, no, Glenn Beck is, I'm sorry, I can't, I love hearing the guy. It's not like Alex Jones where he gets all wiggly and like.
Oh, it just makes my throat hurt.
Yeah, I feel like I'm watching somebody who took too much of an ADHD medicine and it went bad, you know.
Trilateral Commission, Bohemian Grove, Illuminati. Yeah.
But then again, I mean, Trump released a straight-up anti-Semitic ad right at the end. So, I mean, in case anybody was wondering.
Well, there's that. And there's also an ad that Right Wing Watch has that we're going to talk about tonight where Islamic States of America, did you see that? Some super PAC released this?
Oh, lovely. I can't wait.
It is batshit crazy.
Oh, that's okay. We've got an ad. We've got an ad running here that's running in a lot of other states with a little girl's voice saying,
"Those Democrats want nasty. I want to feel safe in my locker room."
No, really. It's called the Scared Child Call.
Oh, Jesus.
A campaign robocall purportedly from a 12-year-old girl who says she was scared when a man came into the girls' dressing room after swim practice and blames West Virginia Senate and House delegates candidates for allowing the incident to happen is causing outrage statewide. Paid for by the Family Policy Council of West Virginia. yada, 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 yada. Well, guess what? It didn't happen in West Virginia. It didn't happen at all. It wasn't. It was never reported to any law enforcement, and whatever story it is came out of freaking Washington State.
Of course. Of course. Well, Right Wing Watch had the one with the white supremacist vote for Trump. That was fun. The robocall. Keeping America white again. Those are always delicious. But they're not racist at all.
No.
Not one bit. And if you believe that, I got nothing to sell you. I'm tapped out. But back to the topic at hand, Glenn Beck, and I'll let you go because I got to do my own prep. Back to the topic at hand with Beck. I never heard about the mugging, but I know a lot of his changes started when he started looking for Christ. And he went all religious.
Well, no. He admitted he only converted to Mormonism because he wanted to have sex with the woman he married, and she said he couldn't until he put on the magic underwear.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah. Well, you go do your show prep. I'm going to wrap up here, and okay. We'll just hang on tight till tomorrow.
Yes. And by the way, Bob, we are going to, just so your listeners know, if you want to stop by, I don't know what Mike is doing for election coverage after his show, but we are going to 1 a.m. We're going to take calls and we're going to have people over from 9 p.m., not 9 a.m., from 9 p.m.
Yeah, you're not doing that again so soon, are you?
No, I'm not. No, from 9 p.m. until 1 a.m., we're going to be taking calls and we're going to be having a good old time over at FYNation.com. So if you want to have your band of merry men and women or minions stop by, they're more than welcome after they get bored anywhere else with the corporate media.
Okay, sounds good. Thomas, have yourself a good evening.
And you as well, my friend.
All right, break a leg. Bye now. And a note coming in from Darlene up in Connecticut. SOB should resign. What Comey did with the email non-troversy is bad enough, but the loser lives in Connecticut too. Barf! Who appointed him originally? That would be Dim Leader. In case you were wondering. Yes. Dim Leader. Okay, I'm still getting used to Android. How to answer an Android phone. There we go. Let's check in with Jim in Louisiana. By the way, $65 to go fundraising for the evening and 12 minutes to do it in. Hey, Jim, what's happening?
What's up, Bob? I just wanted to call and double check on that office thing, Joe. Joe B-A-G-E-N, is that how you spell it?
B-A-G-E-A-N-T, Joe Bagent.
B-A-G-E-A-T?
B-A-G, G as in girl, E-A-N-T. Right. JoeBagent.net. Among other things, back in 2004... Back in 2004.
B-A-G-B-A what?
No. Bravo. Alpha.
Girl.
Echo. Alpha. Neutron. Tango.
Okay. Sorry about that. No, it sounds like a real interesting... you know, the titles that you mentioned sound really good and interesting. And that guy doesn't exist anymore, right?
No, he kind of died.
Yeah.
No, not just kind of. He completely died.
No, usually when you die, it's not kind of. Usually, you know, it's just like most of the people who die. Yeah. All right, well, I guess I don't think y'all got anything to worry about. I think Hillary's going to win tomorrow night. I mean, but we'll see. But and I'm still going green, but another time. We'll debate that another time.
Well, I mean, the one nice thing is after tomorrow, it all goes away until they pop up again 4 years from now.
Well, actually, 2 years. I mean, you already start probably. Well, you got the.
No, they won't have a presidential candidate 2 years from now, so, you know.
Yeah, it never stops.
You know, they'll be on the ballot in 0.019% of all the races in the country. Because that's about where they are.
Yeah.
And that's everything. Uh-huh. That's dog catcher, county commission, library board, president of the United States, senator, congressman. The Greens typically compete in about 0.019% of all the elections in the country.
All right. I know. Well, you got to start somewhere. So.
Yep.
Yeah, 1,000-mile journey begins with a single step.
All right, Jim, you have yourself a good evening. We'll have the front porch fired up tomorrow.
I'll be listening. I might even call in.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Jim. Bye now. And so, kind of, we're pretty close to the end of the program for the evening. A reminder again: we'll do Friday on the front porch. Tomorrow, you know, pretty much the whole program long. See how that goes. I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to go vote. I don't know if it's going to be a morning thing or an afternoon thing or a right before airtime thing. As some of it has to do with when I got to take Margie to work. But no, we'll get it. You know, going to go vote. But I do. I've got real questions. What am I supposed to think if there's some idiot with a gun who isn't law enforcement outside the polling place? Because I think that's a very distinct possibility. Law enforcement in West Virginia has said, well, we don't expect any problems, but we're going to be ready in case there is any. Okay, then, whatever that means. Oh, and one last thing, just for a giggle on Morian Monday, because it is Morian Monday, and this is giggle-worthy. We haven't gone wandering off into the weirdness of my email inbox in a while. In addition to all the please, friend, won't you send me a dollar email political contribution solicitations I've received. Something just popped and I looked and the subject line said Donna Rice. Anybody remember that name, Donna Rice? Cassandra DeRocher, account executive with Shirley and Bannister Public Affairs, wrote to me today and said, from now to the election, I wanted to let you know Donna Rice Hughes is available for comment. She is a Christian conservative woman who supports Trump. She is president CEO of Enough is Enough and best known for the Gary Hart scandal of 1987. Yeah, that Donna Rice. Everything old is new again. Monkey business indeed. Where's my email pitch to have Fawn Hall on the program? Goddamn. But one of the things that I've got set aside to talk about, and hopefully we will talk about it at greater length. Oh, I don't know, maybe Wednesday. Is where all these campaign contributions went. It's pretty obvious to me that yes, indeed, somewhere along the way, Bernie did sell his email list, or maybe just gave it to Hillary, because I never got a single Hillary email solicitation during the primaries. I'm covered up in them now. And maybe somebody doing some journalism somewhere along the way, will tally up the amount of money spent on this election. Maybe they'll tally up what was spent on the on the presidential part. Then they'll tally up all the Senate races and all the House races and all the governor's races and all the lieutenant governor's races and all the state Supreme Court races and all the House of Delegates and Burgesses and whatever, representing and senators and county commissions. And by the time it's all said and done, that's going to be one whopping-ass big old number. Big enough to actually probably be statistically relevant in terms of the federal budget. And when that happens, we can look around and see how many working class people have been separated from their cash that was then used to buy advertising in media that are largely owned by right-wing corporations, which hate those working people in the first place, and will realize what real wealth transfer is all about. Because by the time everything's said and done, there will be enough money spent on this political campaign for a whole fleet. Of new schools, new bridges, new roads, new highways. There will have been enough money spent on this political campaign to make sure that no child ever goes to sleep hungry in this country ever again. There will have been enough money spent on this political campaign to make it to make Medicare and Social Security solvent for the next 1,000 years, maybe. Who knows? Just worth thinking about. Pay attention. See if you see that story come out and send it to me if you see it. By this time tomorrow, the polls will be closed in just about everywhere, but the furthest reaches of the western part of the United States. They'll still be open in Hawaii, Alaska. They'll be coming up on closing in another hour or so by this time tomorrow night in California, I presume. And then we'll start to know. And we'll have some sort of an idea of what kind of an America we're going to wake up in on Wednesday morning. Hang in there, y'all. I know. No, this is not like the night before Christmas when you were 7. Or 6 or 5. I don't know. This almost feels more like walking home from school after you've gotten in trouble in school and you know the call's already been made home and you're going to have to answer for it when you get there. But we've got a little community here that y'all keep going. Need to raise another $65. And hopefully we won't have a hole to crawl out of, you know, tomorrow. Oh, I was mistaken. No, Obama appointed Comey. Thanks for letting me know, Andy. Obama appointed Comey. Robert Mueller was FBI director until 2013. I guess what, Comey was the assistant then? Because I was thinking back to when he actually did something right and refused to sign off on the domestic spying program. I knew Comey had been appointed in 2013, but I thought maybe it was a re-up or something. But it's a 10-year appointment. And yeah, his resignation should be on Obama's desk Wednesday morning. Or else Obama should just fire his sorry ass. All right, y'all, hang in there. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff for making this all happen. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you John Fox, Ben Birch, thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Thanks to each and every one of you who spend your precious, finite time in this conversation. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.